Gal.
Hey guys, and welcome to Get Life Podcast. It's me, Bish. Today we are going to be talking about Super Mario RPG, the remake that's recently been released on the Nintendo Switch. Before we gonna get into that, I want to thank our sponsors Crunchyroll and Sugoimart, as well as thanking Nintendo for providing review code for this game. For you new folks, Galp is a monthly gaming discussion podcast under the Gal Network. We talk about all sorts of games, from big AAA titles all the way to awesome indie games, but our forte is Japanese games, so expect that a lot. We can be found anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, whether that may be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you like what we do, make sure that you give us a 5-star rating and share the show. It does help us out a lot. And join our Discord, getlifepodcast.com/Discord, to join in on the fun and on the discussions. Will is sorting out our gaming news and anime news on the Discord, so go and check it out for that if you want to get updated on a more regular basis. So, Super Mario RPG, I've never had this game before, mainly because I didn't grow up with Nintendo consoles in my household. My cousins did. They had a Nintendo Entertainment System, and they also had a Super Nintendo. We were more of a Sega family, but to be fair with you, when this game came out, I was 2 years old, there or thereabouts. Yeah, I was 2 years old. I wasn't even gaming by then, to be fair. And I wouldn't, even if I was gaming by then, living in the UK, living in Europe, this game didn't get a European release, which is actually very shocking. So for a lot of people, especially in Europe, this might be the first time that people got to play this game. And why do I say that? Well, it's because the game didn't get released in Europe because they didn't create a PAL version of the game. Nintendo representatives at the time cited that they need to optimize the game for PAL televisions, as well as translate it into multiple languages. And that's obviously an issue in the early days of gaming, especially in Europe, before we had more regulations in terms of gaming, which is very interesting, because there are some games, equally we mentioned in a previous episode, that there were games that got released in Europe but didn't get released in the States, if we're talking about Fighting Vipers, for example, and other Sega titles. But we're not here to talk about Sega today. We're here to talk about Super Mario RPG. It released in March 9th, 1996 in Japan, and May 13th, 1996 in North America. Around this time, I believe that there was a lot of games that were coming out, I believe on the original PlayStation, a lot of RPGs, a lot of turn-based RPGs, especially the Final Fantasy series. And guess what? This game was developed by Square Enix. So was this their answer to Final Fantasy VII? Probably not. When did Final Fantasy VII come out, actually? Let's check. Final Fantasy VII came out a year later. So was this Nintendo's answer to Final Fantasy VII? Probably not. It's a very interesting game. I will say that I don't have any nostalgia for the game. I think a lot of European players wouldn't have nostalgia for the game. It did get re-released on the Wii eShop in 2008 and then on the Wii U's eShop as part of a virtual console. But to be fair with you, who was still playing the Wii at that point? And let's be real, who was playing the Wii U? This remake is going to be a lot of people's first time playing it, especially in Europe. I am surprised why the game got... It's got a full RRP of like £45. Which I was assuming, okay, that you could probably get the game for like 40, depending. But the fact that it is on the eShop for full price, especially in Europe where people may not have nostalgia, is a bit odd. I would have thought that they would have bumped down the price in Europe and just kept the price the same in the States, mainly because of the nostalgia factor. But it is selling quite well and it's getting good reviews online. So that is quite good. And it's not getting good reviews because it's a Mario game. It's getting good reviews because it's actually quite a fun game. I got to play with it, obviously thanks to Nintendo, and there was a few things that I thought was quite interesting. The fact that it is, well, an RPG, a turn-based RPG at that, with Mario, which is a bit odd. I didn't expect it. It's called Super Mario RPG, but you never really expect like a turn-based RPG with Super Mario in it, right? That's one thing. But I also found that it was just fun. It was fun to play. I don't necessarily care about the story in this game. That's probably because I think in Super Mario lore, we've kind of gotten past a lot of these characters. And around that time, they were still trying to build up the lore, and they were introducing characters that we've never seen in future Super Mario games, or characters that have been cut, etc. As such, when I'm playing this game, I don't care about the other characters unless it's Toad or Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Bowser. These are the characters I care about. These side characters and the NPCs that you fight, your enemies that you fight in battle, I don't really care. Okay, Goomba's fine, but then the rest of them, I have no real attachment to. I haven't really been playing Mario games for a while, other than Mario Kart. And a lot of people are like, oh, have you been playing Super Mario Wonder? Haven't had the chance to at the moment because I've been playing this game. And you might be wondering, well, Bish, why? Why are you focusing on this game? I like JRPGs, and this game plays very similarly to others that I've played in the past. It's very nostalgic, even though I have no nostalgia for this type of game. The fact that all of your commands are sort of mapped to buttons kind of reminds me of Persona 5. You know what I mean, right? You know, when you get into a battle in Persona 5 and it's like gun, skills, persona, that kind of stuff. It's pretty much laid out the same way, which is very interesting. It kind of masks the fact that this is a JRPG where you have to go through menus to get to what you want, which is standard for JRPGs, right? It's standard for any RPG, to be fair with you. So it masks that fact, and it's very friendly to new players, and I think that's what we need. I was speaking to my brother-in-law about it. Shout out to Carl. And we were talking about it. Obviously, he's never played it before because the game has never been released in Europe officially, other than the eShop release. But we were speaking about it. The first thing I got in terms of vibe was it felt very simple. Yes, it's a Super Mario game. It's supposed to be simple. It is quite complex at the same time, and it is quite challenging, but the leveling up system is quite simple. Your XP is in, at least in the beginning, it's in single digits, which I never really expect. You know, I always at least expect 100 XP or whatever, right? It makes you feel like you've done more of a challenge, that you've earned that XP, as opposed to you get one XP for defeating this thing. It feels like more of a grind almost, but the level caps are a lot shorter, which makes sense, because imagine like having those level caps of 1,000 XP and you're just gaining 1 XP for every battle. That'd be pretty insane. Like, to get to the first couple of levels, you need like 10 XP, 20 XP, etc. And it goes up exponentially, which is expected. But it's quite interesting in that sense, because I didn't expect it. There was a lot of things I didn't expect. I love the art style in the game. It is very kind of squished. I like that whole axonometric view, or isometric view, however you like to say it. You don't really see that in a lot of turn-based RPGs nowadays. It's kind of stuff that you would have seen back in the day during that 3D era, or even in the SNES era of JRPGs, you know, which is, it's quite nostalgic in that sense. I do like that. Other parts that I found a bit jarring as well was just that leveling up, right? It was simple. I did mention this before, but it was simple in the sense that you have three options, right? In terms of using skill points, you can sort of level up your magic, attack, and defense together. They're just, that's how it is. It's health, magic, or combat, which is very interesting, because you level up your magic, attack, and defense together. You level up your attack and defense together, and you level up your health separate as well. So it's very interesting. You don't have any other options other than those three things, which is interesting. It tells you how much your points are going up anyway, even if you weren't to choose that option, which makes sense. So it will tell you your health is going to be at 24 anyway, because you've reached this level. If you want to take on this growth point, then it will jump up to 27. So it does tell you that, which is, it's a nice indication. It's also a nice thing while leveling up as well, because especially in a lot of JRPGs, they don't necessarily make a big deal out of leveling up. You'll probably get something within the UI that's like, level up. They make a big deal out of it in this game. It's a celebration. There's fireworks that go off, you know, confetti. It's pretty over the top for something that is quite mundane, and I like that. But bear in mind, this is a game for children. That might offend some people, but I kind of felt like this game was baby's first RPG. Some people are gonna really, really hate on me for saying that, but I feel that it is a valid point to make. It is baby's first RPG. Why do I say that? Because it's a very simplified JRPG. It is intended for people that haven't played RPGs before. It explains things very thoroughly, and I'm not sure if it was like that in the original Super Mario RPG, if it was more difficult than this. I was playing this on normal difficulty, but there is a breezy difficulty, which it is very simple. I haven't tried that mode, but it is like basically an easy difficulty. There is explanations for everything in this game. There is characters that will give you hints, especially Toads. If you look at them, if you find them around, they'll give you little hints here and there, and you earn different attacks as you kind of level up, which makes sense. You can equip weapons, you can equip equipment like pair of pants. Pair of pants in the American term, not in the British term, but you know what I mean? For a character, so a pair of trousers, a shirt, that kind of stuff for Mario. What I liked about this game was the fact that it was simple. I didn't need to think about a lot of things. I didn't need to think strategically. If I'm playing a game like Persona, which I'm going to compare it to, I'm going to compare this game to Persona. If I'm playing a game like Persona, I have to think a lot about what I'm going to do, what personas I'm going to use, weaknesses, anything that I can use to counteract. And yes, enemies do have weaknesses in this game, but it is pretty simple. Like, there is no way to check what the enemy's weakness is. You almost have to remember it. And there is no health bars either. Like, it strips off everything that you, I wouldn't say don't need, but anything that could be a distraction, they remove it. There is no way other than using a skill to basically see the enemy's health. And even then, it won't even tell you the enemy's full health. It'll just tell you, oh, this enemy's near death. Pisses me off personally. However, I can see that if you are someone that's new to JRPGs, or if you are a child, all of this information might be very overwhelming. Another thing that I found quite interesting, but equally annoying, is the fact that there is a shared SP bar. So you have these like flower points that allow you to do attacks, elemental attacks, lightning attacks, special attacks, basically. So your SP, your magic attacks, effectively. So this is shared between your whole party. Normally in a JRPG, everyone will have a unique health points and magic points or SP, depending on what games you play. Everyone will have an individual one. So at least if you're wasting your main character's SP, you can rely on another party member to do attacks or to heal or to do whatever, right? You don't necessarily get that option within this game. Everyone just shares the same SP, and could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I find myself using a lot of potions, a lot of items that can bring up your SP and your health as well, at least in the early game, before you have access to healing and that kind of stuff. I also find that you get a lot of, and this is something that I used quite often, there's these like petal, I don't know if they're called petal bars or whatever, but they're like this little item that will add on to your SP bar. And I tend to do it, and it's usually like, oh, adds one additional SP overall. But what I tend to do is that I use it when I'm really low on SP, and then it will refill that bar for you. So that's a little trick that you guys can use to be more strategic, more effective in the game. It's very interesting as well that there's a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different dungeons, say quote unquote dungeons, but they're not necessarily dungeons. Some are, but not all of them. A lot of different environments in the game to traverse, which is not something that you'd always see Mario in normally, other than a game like Super Mario Odyssey, right, where you get to see all these different environments. Considering that this game is almost 20 years old from its original release, let's say 18 years old at this point, it is quite, oh, not even 18 years old, what am I saying, it's more than 20 years old, Bish, what the hell are you talking about? This game came out, so I'm born in 94, I'm almost 30, yeah, this game is more than 25 years old. So the fact that it is, maybe my maths is wrong, but you can correct me in the comments, but the fact that this game is that old and still had Mario in all of these different scenarios, it's quite impressive, to be fair with you, at least for the time. What I would have liked in this game is to probably include like a slider so that you can play the game in old graphics, kind of like what Halo does and games like it, right? That you could just switch, you can go back to the old sprites. It's something that I would have liked as well for Advance Wars, which we didn't necessarily get. We got the new style sprites, which I wasn't a big fan of. I did mention it within the episode, but I would have liked that sort of nostalgia factor for me, because sometimes I do like to play SNES games in the original form. And I think a lot of people that may have had nostalgia for it would have wanted to do that. In terms of everything else, though, I thought it was just interesting. I don't know what to think of this game, really. I didn't spend much time in it, to be fair, but it is one that I like to shut my brain off and I'll play in the background as I'm listening to a podcast or as I'm watching a YouTube video, because I don't care about the story. I genuinely don't, but I love the gameplay. I love the gameplay loop. I love everything about it in terms of artwork, the little puzzles that there is as well to sort of complete and figure out. And I do know that in terms of the post game, there is ways to repeat battles, and they are more difficult than they were initially, which is always nice to see. There is a lot of references to other Nintendo franchises. That I saw some Metroid references, some references to Smash Bros, that kind of stuff. There's references to Square Enix games, some Final Fantasy references in there as well, which is always nice to see. Mentioning Square Enix, this game's remake is not actually being developed by Square Enix by any means. It's being done by Arte Piazza. I'm sorry, I'm reading it in Japanese. So it's pretty interesting because this company are well known for working on Square Enix games or Enix games back in the day. So they were working on the Dragon Quest games, and they've worked on a Harvest Moon game. And oddly enough, they worked on the Opuna game by Koei Tecmo, or back then would have been Koei, as well as doing other Dragon Quest games. They also worked more recently on Romancing Saga 3, which was also Square Enix. So they've worked on quite a lot of games, mostly Square Enix games. It's interesting how they've kind of let a side studio work on the game effectively, although it isn't like a studio that is owned by Square Enix. It's just one that they work with in tandem. But it is interesting that they've done that. I'm actually really excited to see more from the studio in terms of other games. Are we going to see a sequel to Super Mario RPG? Probably not. It would be nice. I mean, the game is already, like, it's technically, it's built in the Unity engine. The assets are there. They could technically make a new Super Mario RPG if it warrants demand. And it would be a nice sort of spin-off again, to be fair with you, that this could be a series that has legs and maybe, you know, a series that could align more with the lore a little bit in terms of the modern day lore and actually have more modern Super Mario characters in there as well. Like I said, this game is pretty much not intended for people who have played RPGs before. I think genuinely this is intended for people who have never played an RPG, or children. I can imagine a lot of parents, maybe especially parents who are big fans of like Final Fantasy or Persona or a lot of turn-based RPGs, in which they want to share that with their children, but they might find that, okay, if I share a game like Persona 5, it might be a bit too complex for them. Maybe I could share this with them. That might be a good move, right? Because Mario games are very colorful, they're very engaging. And I'm talking about children that are probably, I don't know how to explain it, like maybe like 4 or 5 year olds. And that sounds a bit harsh, right? I don't see it as a harsh point. I see it as potentially a game that could inspire the next generation of gamers, the next generation of JRPG fans, and maybe they might grow into that. We'll be like, you know what, I'm gonna play Final Fantasy when I'm older, or I'm gonna play a Persona 5 or Persona, any of the Persona games, or even other RPGs in general. So I think it is a gateway game, and that in itself could be considered a great thing. So that's my thoughts on Super Mario RPG, to be fair. I don't know what else to say, because I feel like I'm gonna get shot for saying it, but I do feel that it is a great game. Is it one that I personally enjoy? Yes, but bear in mind I enjoy it for different reasons than most people would enjoy it for. I enjoy the music, I enjoy the art style, the animations. Really, I don't enjoy how simplified it is, but to be fair with you, it's not a game that is intended for me. But this is definitely a game that I will put on in the background as I'm playing a podcast, as I'm listening to a podcast, as I'm listening to a YouTube video, or if I want to chill out and listen to music. Because there are some games that are like that, right? For me, Call of Duty is one of those games. It's one of those games that when I want to unwind, I'll listen to a podcast, listen to music, and play. Same way is with a Super Mario RPG, because I don't need to concentrate while playing it. Maybe every once in a while, I'll take out my headphones and be like, okay, this is a serious bit. This is a puzzle. Let me take out my headphones, I'm going to concentrate and I'll get back into it. Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And yeah, that's my thoughts on Super Mario RPG. Please let me know what you guys think. There is no ads today on this episode, but I do want to thank our sponsors Crunchyroll and Sugoima. In addition to that, thanks to Nintendo for sending us a review code for the game, and for allowing us to do this first impressions. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Once again, big thanks to Nintendo for providing code for this game, and we'll see you guys next week. Oh, did I say next week? Yes, I did say next week, because what we're gonna do is we are working on shorter episodes, more bite-sized episodes, more frequently. So expect shorter episodes in the range of like half an hour to an hour tops, and then every month we'll have a longer extended discussion. So the reason why we're doing this, we want to get more content out for you guys so that you guys don't feel lonely, right? No, but seriously, we wanted to get more content out there more regularly, and if you guys want to help us in doing so, please give the show a 5-star rating on your platform of choice, as well as sharing the show with your friends, your family, your dogs, your cats, really anyone, because it does help us out in terms of algorithms and all that. And you guys kind of know, I don't need to explain it, but yeah, please do share the show, and we'll see you next week. We're hoping to do a Persona 5 Tactica episode as well, so stick around for that. Anyway, bye.